So when did you know that you wanted to get involved in music?
I always loved music, but I was pursuing dance professionally. So I spent a lot of years doing that and then just dabbling in singing. And I just kind of had music as a hobby. And then about 3-4 years ago, I decided that I was ready to take the plunge and switch over and pursue it.
Who are your influences? Who did you listen to growing up, and how do you think they affect your sound?
Pretty widespread group of influences. Currently, I'm really interested in Bruno Mars, Paramore, Adele, a lot of mainstream artists, but I grew up listening to a lot of 90s stuff, so I was pretty heavily influenced by No Doubt, Third Eye Blind, and a lot of R&B, too, and soul, kind of Stevie Wonder, Amel LaRue, Etta James, even. I mean, just tons of different stuff. It's pretty eclectic. I even love really, really hard rock music, like Tool, and... So I think you can hear a little bit of that. I think you can hear a little bit of everything in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, Forever, I mean, I totally get the Hayley Williams references. I hear maybe even, like, a little Avril Lavigne at times. Like, you've got this really, like, good melody as far as, like, the guitars and stuff going on in that song. So I kind of see, like, all of your influences there.
Love that. Huge wall of, you know, lots of guitars and heavy drums. It's just... This is my favorite.
So let's talk about that song a little bit. How was that song written? Was there a moment where you're like, boom, and you start writing? Or how was it all put together?
That song, that song's kind of interesting because I actually did an Indiegogo campaign for a music video I did in 2012. And I had to raise money for it. And I had a donor who was pretty generous, and I when you do those campaigns, you have little perks that you give back to the donors as rewards. And his reward was that I would write a song based on an idea that he had. And it was really interesting because he was basically seeing somebody, so he had some kind of love letter type emails, some poetry, and he sent it over to me. And so I told him that I would kind of do something with that. And then I ended up using his emails to write a song, a version of the song, by just taking kind of like parts of it and rearranging them. And I collaborated with somebody on it, and it was really fun. We had a really great day just collaborating and mixing up these words. And anyway, so that kind of became like a first draft for the song. But then the song morphed into like a whole new song. So that only kind of gave me the basic concept. And then after that, I ended up totally changing it and writing it and kind of relating it to myself. So I didn't really end up using any of his poetry, but it did actually give me, you know, the idea to do it, if that makes sense. And so I then pretty much created a song related more to my own life and my kind of hopeless romantic ideals and, you know, wishful thinking of eternal bonds and unbreakable love and things like that that, you know, I feel like everybody wants deep down.
How do you want that song to be remembered? How do you want somebody, you know, 4 or 5 years from now to be like, oh, yeah, that song? How do you want them to respond?
Well, I would love it if they do that. That would be great. I think of this song as having a timeless quality. I mean, the lyrical content is about a timeless love. So, you know, the main thesis of the song is always and forever. So it's what I hope that people take that away, that, you know, they can love somebody forever, you know, even if it doesn't work out. You know what I mean? It's like you can always remember that time in your life And I think that that can even relate to a friend or family member. It doesn't necessarily have to be your boyfriend or girlfriend. And I think that the, you know, the guitar riffs and the musical arrangement is super fun and unique. So, you know, just like you said, hopefully people will look back and be like, yeah, that was a rockin' tune. And, you know, it just makes me feel good.
What's kind of on your goal list? Where do you want to be? I know the album comes out in January. So where do you want to be, say, by June of next year? What do you want to be accomplishing?
By June of next year, I've never been on a tour, and I really love to tour. It's kind of my dream. I've heard a lot about touring. I've heard it's not all that glamorous, but I just really love performing, and I just want to perform for new audiences and, you know, try my music out at different, you know, different states and different countries and even different cities. You know, I've been in LA my whole life, which is great because I think that's an advantage, but I'd love to, you know, I really want to branch out. I'm just itching to get out. And I really want to actually make another EP. Hopefully I will be in production for another EP then and touring. I just want to keep making music and just keep getting my name out there and pick up a few more fans and, you know, hopefully it snowballs. That's just really what the whole goal has been with this EP. It's my first EP, and before that I've just had a single out. So it'd be really great if this puts me on the map.
Speaking of, you know, singles and success and stuff like that, I mean, despite the fact that this is your debut EP, you've had, you know, success as a songwriter. You've had songs featured on, you know, sitcoms on NBC and USA and stuff like that. How do you think that prepared you for where you are now?
The placements and the accomplishments along the way have been such blessings. I think that they have prepared me because, you know, it all goes hand in hand. You know, those are songwriting is another aspect of this, and it's a very important aspect, and I feel like you can't have the artistry without the songwriting. And I honestly, if I have some success by songwriting, then I would be stoked. I mean, I would be happy with that. I love to create with other people and, you know, see things and hear things on other people. Even if I write a song and somebody else sings it, hey, I'm totally happy with that. So I think it all goes together. And the more success you have singing and songwriting, just it's all for the greater good.
What do you think is the difference between your studio work and your live singing?
I did a lot of shows when I first started, and it was all because music, kind of like I said, it was a few years ago, and I'd always loved it, but I really didn't know a lot about it. You know, you think about somebody that just one day up and goes, oh, I want to do this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's kind of what happened. So when I was dancing, I really didn't have any vocal training. I didn't know music theory. Couldn't play an instrument. It was very different than it is now, and I had to basically put in those hours, and I knew that, you know, to be great at something, you have to spend, you know, like the Beatles said, 10,000 hours working on your craft. So I basically just jumped into shows, and I knew that they weren't even going to be good. Like, I just started doing shows, and I didn't even care, you know? I was just like, play. And that was actually how I improved, just on the job, basically. And with studio singing, it's so different because you feel safe because you feel like you can redo things if you need to. You know, when you're on the stage, you get one shot. So I think I was really prepared to go in the studio after doing these live shows because, you know, you had to get your accuracy down and you had to get your pitch down and you had to know how you wanted to sing things. Because you only have one shot when you're on the stage. Mm-hmm. So by the time I got to the studio, everything was kind of smoothing itself out. And I just felt really safe in there and really natural. It felt right. So I love being in the studio, and I've spent a lot of time there, obviously, doing this EP. I've gotten to record in a lot of really fun studios, too. There was House of Rock in Santa Monica, which is actually, don't quote me, but I believe that they have removed the musical equipment from there, and it's no longer a studio. So I got to record in there before it was taken down. I got to record at Jayco Studios in Santa Monica, where they do a lot of composing for TV shows, and also at Local Play Studios, and got to use a variety of different cool mics and testing out different things and finding what works on my voice and learning about production. So it's been really exciting and new. I just really enjoy the studio, and I love, you know, creating harmonies and finding fun new things to do for the songs. So but I do really miss performing, and I can't wait to get back to it.
Speaking of the EP, is there another song on A Louder Side of Me that you feel that will connect with people? And if so, how was that song created?
Well, I actually wrote this song kind of as a funny song, and I didn't even know if it was going to become a real song because I didn't know if it was too funny or too silly. But I really like writing those kind of songs too, just for myself. And so a lot of us working to be in the industry, you know, as musicians or singers or dancers or actors, have to have that part-time day job on the side while we work on, you know, making it big. So I have one of these jobs, and I don't always love it. And so I wrote a song, which was kind of my fantasy of leaving that job, and I call it I Quit. So it's kind of about the fantasy of what's going to happen when you quit and how you're going to make this big scene and, you know, laugh in your boss's face and, you know, whatever, throw food at them, or just like this whole elaborate scene that you're going to do that you're probably never really going to do. And so I wrote the song called I Quit, and I think that people will really enjoy it, and I think it's relatable to everyone. You know, whether you have this job or not, I'm sure everybody's been in a situation that is kind of a means to an end that they have to do, they don't really want to do. So, yeah, it's just, I'm really looking forward to seeing people's reactions on that one.
Speaking of people's reactions towards your music and your relatability, I'm going to give you a hypothetical question here. So, the way the music industry now is, a lot of people, they tend to buy EPs over albums because they like to sample stuff. They want, like, bite-sized samples of people's music first. But let's just say someone's on iTunes and they kind of come across your stuff and they're saying, do I download the EP? Do I not? I don't know. And they're, like, kind of in between. And you get to be behind that person while that decision's going on in their head. And you get to kind of sway them. You can kind of be their Jiminy Cricket, so to speak. And you can say something to them to kind of get them to buy the EP. What do you think you'd say to them?
You have to buy this EP. You have to. That's all. You'll regret it if you don't. I would say, you know, this EP is really eclectic. It's got, you know, the rockin' pop choruses, and it's got a little bit of swag. It's got everything. It's got a really heartfelt, unique ballad that, you know, makes you think about some really heavy shit. It's definitely, I mean, the musical arrangement is, we just spent a lot of time on it. It's creative. It's unique. Some crazy vocal stuff in there too. Just trying out different things. I think that it's a hybrid between mainstream and indie music. So it's got a little bit of everything that people like right now. And that's what I'm really hoping. So I think that everybody should definitely, definitely check it out. One song is not going to be like the next. So it's definitely worth it for them to get the sampler and get the whole EP.